Yo, what's up? Street talks, street gods, street vlogs.
Eric came in the house. All right. Beautiful morning. You the one, my morning, babe. None the water. Okay. So, I asked the ChatGPTs, how does cocaine work? Okay. Neurotransmitter. Dopamine. How does it work though? Okay, so some thoughts. Alright, it's beginning to look a lot like the New Year's. Okay, so some fun thoughts for us. First and foremost, I think everyone should get a GoPro minis, the new Hero, blah blah, let's just get the newest one possible. I mean, one notion that I really like is this notion of quote evergreen. So like, the problem about putting in dates, model numbers, blah blahs, is that like, you watch the video or the thing 10 years from now, and you're talking about old technology, and it's not going to be applicable to today's world. So slaves, new slaves, natural slave today. Okay, so I'm like currently reading Politics by Aristotle. So just Google Politics Aristotle PDF, and like, it's so good. Like, okay, I hate all these like modern day woke ass, like politically correct, you know, peoples who's like talking and nobody have no opinion no more, and nobody talk direct and straight up to the point, straight up. And everyone gotta be like, oh, it depends, it's a subject. I'm like, just give me a straight answer, straight up. Aristotle's so funny, he's like, some people are born natural slaves, and then some people subject that is not natural, he wrote, they are wrong, period. It's kind of, yeah, Aristotle's good. It's funny because, like, if you read the Politics, which is where the notion of oikonomia came, which means like economics, home economics, which means management of the household. And it's super interesting. I think everyone should read the Politics at least once, because you know, politics, the polis, the city, everyone lives part of a society. Like, people think about politics like global, like America, like, that's not real politics. Politics more about like the household, the village, the city, and that's it. So it's like, so for example, I'm currently living here in Culver City, right? Culver City, Los Angeles. And technically Culver City is interesting because, ooh, yeah, good job, Apple's vitrines team. Y'all updating the things. Ooh, this is a nice one, yeah. Just shoot me an email, eric@erickim.com. Got some good ideas for y'all. Yeah, I want to live here forever. Start my own Apple. So I think
also the reason why I like the GoPros minis for the vloggings. Oh yeah, all these nice
pictures for the new year. Yeah, actually,
my pro tip, Apple's photos teams, whatevs, I never want to see the same picture twice.
We disdain the same. I mean, think about it this way, you had just same old run-ons for the rest of eternities. Ain't nobody gonna like that. Ooh, yeah.
Also, the good thing with vlogging
on the GoPro minis, whatevs, is you don't have to worry about things like focusing,
8777 Washington.
My low-key suspicion is, I think that Apple TV, they're just trying to buy out the movie industry. They got the monies, but it looks like they're not the Archimedes lever of Apple is media, TV, entertainment. I think they're just kind of grasping at straws, one last ditch attempt. Erkim could be the next Joni Ive or the head of the Apple photo. Maybe I should be the head of the Apple photo scene. I got good ideas. But yeah, Apple just needs to... Natalia's like, let's just double down. We need to double down on the iPhone, make the iPhone cool again. Even I'm like talking to these like, you know, yoga millennial chick girl, I'm like, oh, you can get a new iPhone. They're like, my iPhone is fine. It's like, I'll wait till like the 16, 17, 18. And so yeah, talking to people on the ground seems wise. So yeah, anyway, so I think with your opinion, like, okay, I don't know nobody's who are actually interesting. Like, the only friend that I find interesting is probably like my friend Todd Hatta. Just you know, just Google him, T-O-D-D-H-A-T-A, Todd Hatakiyama's. Essentially, I'm 35. He shot me an email when I was like 21, 22. Helped me out a lot, and then also a fun thing about friends and friendship, if somebody's a real, real friend, you never call them your friend. It's a, like, you know, I look at Todd as like, I'm not like, that's my friend Todd. I'm just like, that's Todd. That's just who he is, right? So the simple heuristic is be very, 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 very careful when people's like, oh, I'm so glad that you're my friend, or I'm so glad to have a friend like you. If somebody talking like that, they ain't a real friend, right? Like, even with family, real family, they don't call it family, just who they is, right? But anyway, so talking about the politics. So certain things that I have gleaned, which is interesting. Yeah, this way, make sure that nobody trips on it. So certain things I find interesting is, oh yeah, Margot on the second floor, super lady. Yeah, this, let's see what it is. Okay, so I this is what I figured out, right? I have like this kind of like, you know, master mentality, and the basic idea is, good morning. So basically the idea is like, you know, okay, sounds bad. Am I allowed to talk bad? Okay, I'm just gonna talk straight up, right? So you know, long story short, I'm the eldest son of the eldest son of the eldest son of the eldest son. So I was born definitely and raised with Wang Jia Byung. Wang Jia means prince, Byung means disease. Or Kim's got the prince disease, the emperor's disease, whatever, right? And so, like, in my mind, you know, I was infallible, given the best cuts of meat. Every time I go to Korea, my grandma would brag about how smart, tall, and good-looking and intelligent I was. Shout out to my grandma. Very grateful. Even the thing I'm so grateful about Seneca is both his grandmas, my mom and Cindy's mom, treat him like the goat. Speak insanely highly of himself. And so as a consequence, I think that's... It's a good thing. Yes, so actually my fury is, you know, I think of myself like the goat, the master. And so whenever I see other people who I consider my inferiors, my doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S is the ancient Greek word for slave, slave. Actually, the word slave is interesting because it actually comes from like the word Slavic, like, you know, Eastern European slaves, right? So, but back in the day, a slave was an Eastern European person from Slavia, Slavic languages, right? And then nowadays in American, modern day American English, we always think about like African American slaves. Slavery far predates African slaves. I mean, like, I don't know too much about the history of the African slave trade, but then before that, I mean, think about the Helots, the H-E-L-O-T-S of the ancient Greeks. And basically the notion and the idea was, you know, the ancient Spartans, what, there's like, what, 6,000 of them? Even, sounds so bad, right? So go on to Wiktionary.org and then search Adolf Hitler, search his quotes. He even mentioned the ancient Spartans, like what, 6,000 Spartans subjugating what, 300,000 Helots or something ridiculous like that. And
so the general idea and the gist was,
you know, back in ancient Greece, like, they thought of a slave like property, not a free man. Like, even Aristotle called a slave, a doulos, as like an animate person body that focus on action but not production, which is kind of interesting nuance. So what maybe what it means is that the real man, the free man, the true master is focused on production, and then the slave is focused on action. So just like somebody clean up your house, whatever. So anyways, I'm like still reading it, but so some general notions is you know, the household, man and wife, children, and then slaves, right? And so even the more naturalistic thing is, you know, people not all like PC and whatevers, is if you go to Asia, Southeast Asia, right? Like typically even a middle class household, you have at least one or two full-time, you know, housemaids slash servants. And then America and Singapore, they just call them quote-unquote helpers. I'm like, come on, call a spade, they're your servants, right? And then the word servant, service, server, it's all centered around the word slave, service, right? I'm starting to think more and more of like a lot of modern day Christianity, Protestantism, Catholicism about being a servant is actually not good thinking, because you want to be a slave, you want to be a master. Like to quote Ye, and leaders and the followers, but I'd rather be a dick than a swallower, right? So don't be a swallower. You know, it's a... Okay, some more bad thoughts, right? Like, if $4 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion, $100 trillion, you know, somebody got to, you know, bust a nut inside your mouth and then you got to swallow it, would you do it for $100 trillion? If you say yes, then that's not good. My thought is I would never even do it for all the money in the world times a trillion. I wouldn't do it for $100 quadrillion, because yeah, there are some things about the sacred versus the profane which is critical to consider. So more thoughts on slaves, natural slaves, unnatural slaves, doulos, etc. I actually have a hot take. I wonder if the word doulos, d-o-u-l-o-s, is actually centered around the word dolor, pain, maybe? I mean, apparently in ancient Greek etymologies, it actually means more like bondage, being tied up. Like, you know, they talk about the golden handcuffs. I have a new notion. I call it the silicon handcuffs. It's like, y'all work at the Facebook, Google, Amazon Primes, whatevs, and you're making $750,000 a year, yet you got a mortgage, your kid's in private school, or you're just solo, you got dead. You still are D-O-U-L-O-S. I'm sorry, that's true. Yeah, you don't want to be a slave to tech money, right? And, yeah, it's not good. I think, I mean... to become rich, wealthy, independent, it's via negativa, no debt. Am I the only millennial I know who has zero debt and has mucho dinero in the bank account and investments? Maybe. Shout out to Cindy, because, yeah, like, with money and financial literacy, it's all like, it's all training, philosophy, and education. And just even superficially being here in LA, one thing I've learned is early on, like in crazy debt, because everyone like maxing out their credit cards and buying stupid shit, right? So my proud moment, the Erkim strategy, in my whole adult life, I have never spent more than $3,500 USD on any car or automobile. The last car that I got for free, the best car to get is free, just get a hand-me-down from the family or friends or relatives, or like super effing cheap, right? Got the family Prius for free 99, right? And maybe I spent what, $3,000 for a new catalytic converter, $300 for a new $3,000 on a new catalytic converter, $300 on a new catalytic converter shield, maybe like $2,500 on the ABS, and boom, got a brand new car for not much money. Okay, another fun fact, do not get an Audi A3, Q3, whatevs. I done seen both of my apartment mates had to service them in. It's probably a sign and a signal that they are not reliable. It's just, don't forget guys, an Audi is just essentially a Volkswagen Beetle, right?
And a Lamborghini is essentially an Audi with a body kit. And a Porsche is essentially a Volkswagen Beetle turbo, you know, on steroids. And even a Bentley, it's just like a really nice Volkswagen Passat. And even Ducati is owned by Volkswagen. Yeah, Volkswagen, they own everything. Yeah, don't drive a foreign. So anyways, talking about the, you know, so yeah, like, I mean, honestly, like, I mean, like, it's certainly critical to have a debit card because, you know, so many financial transactions nowadays require you to have, you know, some sort of, you know, Visa, you know, something like that. So I'm not about abolishing that. Like, I think the issue with a lot of these like crypto anarchists is that they want to demolish the financial institution. But I'm currently watching the Read the Future kind of thing on the watching the future from chain.link. And Sydney has this notion of quote-unquote grafting, right? Like, you know, you're grafting a tree to put it. So Chainlink is kind of like a graft to existing financial institutions and essentially making the whole system better in so far much as you want to create more like cross-chain liquidities, and you just want to make things a little bit more trustworthy, transparent, and tamper-proof. Even this new trend of the quote-unquote tokenization of assets, there's like a quadrillion worth of assets in the world, which is property, right? But truth be told, it's all within some sort of abstracted layer in which, even for example, like your checking account, your savings account, you know, whatever banking institution you use, right? You know, the money is in your bank account, your savings, whatever, it's just ones and zeros. It's just like binary code inside some sort of machine, right? And so it's like, can I just like go to the bank and be like, yo, just give me my $1 million in my savings account just in cash? Like, would they do it? Maybe not. And so I think the best way to think about the bank is it's essentially like a custodian for your money. I mean, I like banks because like I would have extreme anxiety just having $1 million worth of $100 bills like in my sock drawer at home. It's probably not a good idea. And even though people critique the banks, blah, blah, right? Like if somebody accidentally hacked my account, and then like, I'd be very, very happy that, you know, JP Morgan Chase or, you know, whoever would be able to help me recover that money or fight fraud and stuff like that. So even though credit cards, debit cards, a lot of things are bad, the ability to fight fraud is a good one. Okay, so another fun fact. Why don't somebody trade in the Rivian truck at the Toyota dealership? It's probably a signal that it's not a good car. The first rule is never spend more than $3,500 on a car. Even the previous car I got, 2002 Super Outback, 5-speed, 200,000 miles, got for $800. It was listed for $1,000. I said, oh, this can't go any lower. She said, 900. She said, yeah, but I got a kid. Okay, $800. Like, boom, right? And so my strategy is like very simple. It's better to buy a car for $800 and then put $2,000 to fix it up, and then you have a super bulletproof car, rather than, you know, like the typical thing when people's like, oh, you know, it's like unreliable to do, right? So yeah, I want to start my own Prius dealership. I legitimately believe, oh, shout out to 911 Hybrid, Valentin in Garden Grove, Orange County. Highly recommended. That's where I got my stuff done, right? So anyways, so the thought is, you know, if you want to be intelligent with your monies, I legitimately think that every person, at least in LA, whatevs, right? Best car, bar none, 2010 Prius,
like, doesn't really even matter what color you get, just get whatever color is available. I mean, white is easiest because it is easiest to keep clean, but any color is fine. And you know, just make sure the oils change, whatever. I mean, even though I'm a huge fan of Tesla Model 3, it is like, I mean, at least, I mean, I might buy one in the future, but now I have zero interest because even like, you know, the difference between a hybrid, plug-in prime, etc. is, I mean, I don't 100% know, but my theory is, if you have so let's say the difference between a Prius versus a Prius Prime plug-in or what is, right? If you have the plug-in prime thingies, technically there's more components and more components that could break, I think. So in some ways, having just a normal hybrid might be better. I mean, the promise of having a plug-in prime, you know, plug-in hybrid car, right, is that especially nowadays, what you could go, like, let's say 20 to 50 miles on just the battery alone. And that's smart because, you know, if you live in LA and you don't drive for more than 5 minutes a day, technically you'll never have to pay for gas for the rest of your life, which is kind of a good thought. But, you know, alas, you just gotta keep it simple, right? So just get a used 2010 Prius, you know, buy on Craigslist, owner owned it is, and fix it. Actually, my sister-in-law got the new Prius, the new Prius, the one that looks like a Porsche 911 from the back. And I think the design is super cool, the cockpit is cool, it's a very cool car. Certain things I don't like about it almost looks too aerodynamic from the side. It kind of looks like a little silly, but the back looks great, it is, right? But I opened the trunk is effing tiny. Like, it's a not a Prius Lambo truck no more. I call it the Prius Cybertruck, right? Oh yeah, just go on Dolly 3, pay for the monies for the ChatGPT premiums, design me a Toyota Prius inspired by Cybertruck, and it's pretty cool what it makes. And the 2010 Prius is amazing because the trunk is so effing huge. You could fit so much stuff in there, but then the new Prius, they're trying to make it more aerodynamic and cool looking. You just got less storage. Yeah, not good. And also the good thing about, when does Selena Gomez become a little bit more chubs? And actually, both for men and women, right? If you want to lean up, get super ripped and cut, lower your body fat percent, super easy, 100% carnivore diet, just drink tap water, filtered water, and black coffee. You got the Eric Kim Omakase coffee, 100% fine Robustas. And it's like super simple. Like, you want to get cut, ripped, whatever. It's like, stop drinking alcohol. This includes red wine. Just quit, right? Just like pretend like you're Muslim, right? And then if somebody try to pressure you, be like, oh, yo, have a drink, bro. Have a beer. I'm like, and then be like, I don't drink, it's against my religion. Done story, right? Or if somebody like, oh, have some birthday cake or have a cupcake or something like that, it's like, it's against my religion. It's like, I think that's like the funny troll way to just kind of get yourself out of unsavory situations, right? I think, yeah, it's a kind of a funny strategy. Wow, look at these Culver steps. Thank you, Mr. Michael Hackman, and the whole Culver Cities team. I'm living in paradise, right? So just don't waste money on a car. Did 100% potential. And I'm actually starting to think more and more, right? Like, yeah, renting could really, really, really be so much better than owning. Because, like, okay, you know, we're renting a nice ass apartment today, right? I'm like, I'm just trying to keep the place clean, and we just have one bathroom, right? And it's still a full-time job for me to just keep the bathroom clean, right? And so as a consequence, you got to consider maintenance, right? So the reason why, you know, getting either a Tesla or a Prius or whatevs or a hybrid is so good is that, like, minimum maintenance lifestyle seems to be the most intelligent lifestyle, because to maintain means to narrow it, to hold. Like, ultimately the goal is for us to be free, work out, lift weights, you know, talk nonsense, blog, vlog, you know, do hot yogas, barre, whatevs, instead of just, like, you know, being a slavet to your house. Even everyone I know who typically buys a home, like my millennial friends or other people's, right, they always talk about, oh, I gotta open up the kitchen, you get a new countertop. Like, man, this is just set and forget it. And the problem is, even if you're a trillionaire and you hire all these private contractors, the big downside is, you know, you still have to correspond with them. They're late, they're overcharging you, and this is all episode pro tip. You ever want to get anything done in your house, right, or whatevs, contractor quotes you 6 months. 6 months, that's probably like 1.8 years, right? Or is it, oh, I'll finish in a week. A week probably means 2 months. They say it'll take me a year to build this. Think it's gonna be 5 years. So always add extreme buffer to whatever people quote you on, because it seems that the truth of the matter is, yeah, people always underestimate how long things are gonna take. Oh, because you're gonna go over steps. There's a key card, but nope, it's a free public bathroom, right? So some more thoughts on being a indentured servant. Fun fact, real trillionaires drink tap water. I'll never forget. So you gotta read the Elon Musk biography by Walter Isaacson. Super, super good. It's like, apparently one of the funny stories when he bought out Twitter, goes to the office, and you know, one of the dudes is like, hey bro, hey Elon, you want some sparkling death water, right? And then he's like, and then Elon's like, I only drink tap water. And the guy's like, oh, just gotta do a little laughter, a little humor. Yeah, humor makes the world go around, guys. Yeah, so I think the new modern day flex is just to drink tap water. So people in LA is so stupid, right? Because they just drinking this, like, you know, kind of like designer waters, whatevs, right? And actually, in factualities, you know, one of the guys who was working the delivery truck, he's like, you know, that bottled water is actually more expensive than gasoline. And I'm like,
you're right.
So as a consequence, yeah, don't be, in Korean we call it babo. Don't be a babo. What is a babo? B-A-B-O. B-A-B-A. B-A-B-O. Babo. It's kind of a nice word. It's like, kind of means like clown or jester or like kind of silly person, right? It's like, it's very lighthearted. It's like, don't be a babo. It's just kind of like, you know, in American we're like, don't be a fool, F-001, right? But yeah, it's so cute. The
foolish,
like, if we think ancient Greece, right? No such thing as sin and it's just like wise or foolish, binary, right? And so whenever you're separating the peoples,
wise or foolish?
No, this way. Okay, anyways. So me talking about, I'm the natural master. So my ethos, I'm like, I think of myself the master. So whenever anybody tries to say anything against what I believe to be good and true, it invokes my fear. Come like, who is you to talk down on me? Like, I am bigger, greater, handsomer, stronger than you. And so actually my new year's resolution, right, it's like, yeah, just don't let anybody try to bully you. And actually the word bully is interesting, because
the word bully, I think, comes from the word bull,
like b-u-l-l. So, you know, a bull is bigger, badder than you, right? So a bully tries to push you around.
And the bad thing about
Confucianism, East Asian cultures, Catholicism, Protestantism,
Christianity is like,
turn the other cheek. So if somebody, like, you know, bullies you or does not nice things to you, it's like, you just gotta take it. It's like, what?
And then the funny thing is, you gotta turn the other cheek. But then it's never
like, I could do the bad action, the other person should turn the cheek to me, So yeah, modern day ethics is very weird. Why does nobody think of Jesus as a philosopher? So let's say Jesus was a philosopher or a leader or an innovative thinker, right, about ethics. Let's just, you know, put away the hocus pocus, just imagine him like, you know, normal man, right? Then the thing to consider is, like, let us really critically judge his ethics and what he was considering and promoting. Yeah, pretty critical.
Yeah, so some of it's good,
some of it's bad, just kind of reading between the lines, right? And also the funny thing too is a lot of people think about, like, you know, Christianity is, right? The big issue here is actually, we should understand modern day Christianity like St. Paulism. St. Paul tormented soul and, you know, sought salvation in Jesus. So, I don't know, I think the notion of philology, something that Friedrich, our best friend Nietzsche, said was like to essentially think more critically about things, people, etc. Man, I effing hate waiting. Just gotta keep it moving. So yeah, just philology is essentially like, maybe I'm a philologist. It's essentially, I need to figure out even what the etymology of it is. But the basic word is use wiktionary.org, ChatGPT-4, search the etymology and the history of words. So the word misogyny, mis means against, hatred. Genos, which means woman, like, I guess the same word as gynecology, genos, woman, right? So the notion of misogyny is actually the notion of hatred towards women. So the question is, do you hate women or not? Right, like all these loser, what, quote, quote, incel guys on the internet, right? Like, do they hate women or do they want women? I have such a bad quote, so when I was in college, study sociology, right? And the sociology at UCLA in general is like 90% women, right? I'm like one of the few dudes in the class. And then we're doing like a sociology of the family, women's studies class, right? And like all my friends in the sociology department were all girls, right? Women, whatever you want to call it, right? And so I went back, I think I told my friend Stephanie, I'm like, it's like, I'm not sexist. Oh, no, sorry, I didn't say that. I said, I'm a feminist, ... I love women. yeah, it's so bad, right? And then I was even thinking, it's like, sexism, what is the notion of sexism? Right, so once again, just read the OG stuff, like The Politics by Aristotle and see his opinions. And then, the funny question is, you look at Aristotle, I'm gonna ask, was Aristotle, quote, quote, sexist? And it's like, not even a non-concept, it's like, so I think anything that's a modern day notion within the last 300 years is typically not good. So the only thinkers that I personally like and trust is maybe like Nietzsche and before, like La Rochefoucauld is pretty good. Even Voltaire seems a little bit too soft. And then the real hard critical, you know, no BS thinkers are essentially the ancient Greeks. Even the Romans were Latin, it is, right? Like, even the Romans a little bit wishy-washy because, you know, they're kind of dealing more with like luxury, wealth, and stuff like that. I mean, this is where studying, reading Seneca is so interesting because
America is essentially like Rome 2.0. Yeah, we're currently dealing with issues with that.
You know, personal slaveries, whatevs. But anyways, yeah, debt slavery. And like, so anybody who has car payments, a mortgage on the house, essentially modern day slavery. And I think, yeah, just cut up your credit cards if you're in debt, pay that shit off, and then be free. And then the question is, once you're free, then what? Question mark, question mark. Very simple. I think then it's alive towards philosophy, thinking, innovation, entrepreneurship, doing cool stuff for the sake of it. Not focused on money, wealth accumulations. And yeah, just to think more critically about things. Essentially like becoming like a carefree kid. Like I actually even remember I had this really good memory as a kid. Like when I got my first computer, it is like trying to figure out how to use a computer myself when I was like 11, 12 years old. And I actually feel like one of my most pure selves is when I was like 11, 12 years old. I very, very specifically remember getting my first computer, Acer Aspire Pentium 1 MMX processor. I think it had like, how big was the hard drive? It's like, I don't even remember. It's like, maybe like, oh, kind of big deal. I think it had 1 gigabyte of storage at the time, which is kind of a big deal, whatevs, right? Everyone predates something a little bit differently. And Kirk Douglas Theater looks pretty good. Okay, so people, so you trust these like random ass people to entertain your kids, seems a little bit weird. Also with movies and theater and stuff like that, it does really seem that it's a good idea to, like, if you're a film buff or watching movies and stuff, right? Just watch the really, 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 really old stuff, like black and white and before, like Akira Kurosawa, like, and also your favorite directors, right? Stanley Kubrick, whoever's George Lucas. Watch the movies that they were inspired by. So apparently I was doing some research about George Lucas. There's a new Lucas Theater spaceship opening up somewhere in near USC in LA. Looks pretty cool. So apparently George Lucas studied at USC filmmaking. He was really inspired by Akira Kurosawa. So yeah, just if you want to watch a good movie and get inspired, Akira Kurosawa is lit. And then the question is, who was Akira Kurosawa inspired by? Do some more research. And yeah, like even Citizen Kane. It looks like a lot of these black and white film noir movies from the 20s is super good because, I mean, aesthetically, they're just beautiful. Cindy is currently pioneering this new notion of quote-unquote slow viewing, which is basically a notion that like nowadays media is just too fast, right? Like cut, right? And we don't really have a chance to like kind of linger on things and stuff like that. And what is really the new modern day luxury is just taking your sweet time, right? And so, you know, having a luxurious 4-hour all-you-eat Korean barbecues. If you're in LA, the best place to go is place called Galbi King, G-A-L-B-I-K-I-N-G. It's on, I think it's on Sawtelle. It's only $24 for all you could eat, which is like unheard of. Get the tongue, super lit. And yeah, just taking your, nice sunrise. Take your sweet time. And this guerrilla street vlogging is what I love. Also another fun thought on vlogging, right? Honestly, I think people just like watching talking heads, even if it's on mute. Even best friend Nassim Taleb. Oh wow, look at those. So beautiful. Even best friend Nassim Taleb, he says he has a habit of just keeping on the TV, the financial news, with everything on mute, and he just likes to watch the talking heads. And so I think, we love faces, we like talking heads. Yeah, create media that would be entertaining if people watched on mute. Even for myself, right? If I watch a movie trailer, I never watch it with the sound on. And I don't have the Airbuds Pros Max. So being able to strategize in such a way that it would be entertaining even if somebody will watch on mute. So for example, you're getting this free walking tour of Culver City. Yeah, just always just carry your GoPro Mini on you and stuff like that. The Hero 12, 13, I forget which one you're on. My friend Todd got it. It looks pretty good too. But yeah, the downside of the new GoPro Heroes, super heavy. Yeah, essentially the lighter, the better. Every ounce counts. Another thought I had about tech. Don't get the iPhone Pro Max. It is so heavy. Still the best iPhone to get is, you know, a used iPhone Mini or iPhone SE, or if you're gonna buy a new iPhone, just get the normal one. Don't get the Pro because heavy is bad. Even the titanium one is lighter, but yeah, Apple needs to do a radical redesign. Oh, so even a vision I have for the next iPhone Pro Titan, just make a one lens. Like one super effing mega, super big lens, and get rid of that stupid gas burner Illuminati three things, right? Because truth be told, like let us think about the iPhone camera as, you know, the best camera on the planet, right? It's better to just have one lens with the extreme best quality possible than to have three mediocre lenses together. And truth be told, like, just look at how your mom and your other people use the phones, right? People, I love the ultra wide mode, but most people don't ever use the ultra wide mode. They either take a picture normal or they zoom in, and that's it, right? And so just let's just consider Apple, right? You could just make one mega, so let's say the new iPhone Pro, right? This is my vision. Make one super mega powerful camera lens, right? And you know, either with the technology or the engineering behind it, you make the zoom in really good. You don't need to get an optical zoom, just make a digital, right? I think that would be much more innovative than, you know, still stringing people along with these stupid three lenses, whatever. I mean, where Apple really went wrong was people had this naive notion that more something means it's more better. So for example, people thinking have two lenses is better than having one lens, right? Or having three lenses is better than having two lenses, and three lenses is better than one lens, but that is not correctamundo. Like, think about it this way. Would you rather want three Honda Civics or one Lamborghini? Right? Oh, wow, look at that. It's so beautiful. Yeah, I think it's, what, William Eggleston who said, I'd never want to miss a sunrise or a sunset ever again. And just walking. Yeah, you can smell the streets. It's a good street photograph, right? Just get yourself out of the silos, the bunkers, whatevs. What that means is everyone, what's that smell? Everyone puts themselves in a small box. And even me, right? Like, I'm trying to think to myself, like, what am I or who is I and is this? And I mean, just think of yourself like a personality, right? Like a person, an individual, right? Like Aristotle is Aristotle. Maybe in the future, I'll just be known as, what should I be known as? Eric Kim. It's funny, even Nietzsche, right? Like people don't call him Friedrich Nietzsche, they call him Nietzsche. Maybe I should just call myself Kim. Kim, Eric, Kim. Kim is easy. Kim. But they're funny too, because like when you type in Kim, people actually autocomplete Kim Kardashian. Which is funny. So it does seem like surnames, last names are actually more robust than first names. Is a funny hot take. Just keep moving. Another thought. Legacy. Legacy systems and technologies are bad. So I built my website super effing long time ago, and now I'm having like PHP issues and, you know, SQL database issues, blah blahs. And you know, I'm still glad that I did the self-hosting route, WordPress.org over WordPress.com. I don't recommend WordPress.com anymore because automatic team, you done messed up by deleting one of my WordPress.com accounts. if you rub EK the wrong way, not good news. So, I mean, the website's still alive, it is good and whatever, right? But maintenance, upkeep, it's actually very, very, just kind of, it's really hard insofar much as it's so, like, when you're managing the website yourself, it's so easy to break stuff. And if you break your website on accident, it's happened to me like a trillion times, right? Like, you know, you shit your pants and, you know, not good. Because all your value is in your website, right? So that's where the security, I mean, I still like the Jetpack plugins because it makes things a little bit more secure. But then I guess also the tricky nuance is you want to make it secure enough, but not too secure to the point that you just kind of get locked out of your own thing, right? And like, who was that one dude? He had like, what, $100 million worth of crypto or Bitcoin or something. And then he made the password too complicated. He forgot what it was. And therefore, as a consequence, just kind of, he has what? He did 2 failed login attempts. He has 1 more last chance. If he does it wrong, it's gonna all go into the ether. So once again, some traditional forms of things is good. I mean, my personal suggestion, just use Coinbase. I like Coinbase because I think that Coinbase is essentially like the new PayPal for crypto. I mean, I like the UI UX. It's easy to remember, right? And easy to link up with your traditional bank accounts and stuff like that. And it's so funny too, I guess I was a prophet in so far much as like, I was like super into Bitcoin like pretty early on. I got into Bitcoin when it was what, like $6,000 a Bitcoin and rode it up to 65. Now obviously now it goes up, it goes down, but my long-term version, I'm pretty certain within the next 2 years it's gonna go back to at least $65,000 a Bitcoin, probably go up. My super, super long-term vision is, yeah, I hate fucking waiting. My super, super long-term vision is, I don't know, I think in 30, 35 years, I wouldn't be surprised if one Bitcoin was worth $1 million or $10 million or $100 million, right? But the problem is in the future, right? And then this is why I think about the inflation. Even now in LA, if you try to find a nice house in a nice neighborhood, you're looking at like $1.7 million, $3 million. It's a lot. Yeah, the next 10, 20 years, I wouldn't be surprised if that house worth like 10, 20, $30 million, truth be told. And the reason why things are getting so expensive is, I think it has to do with menial labor wages. So if you're offering janitors to be a janitor for $30 USD an hour and they're not biting, probably not a good sign for the economy. Quote productive labor, right? If you don't have people just doing labor jobs, which is probably the source of real wealth, then the whole economy don't work good, right? And so when you keep having to try and tempt people, make it like, if you're offering somebody to pay $22 an hour to work at McDonald's and flip hamburgers, and they still not getting a job because they prefer to smoke weed and watch Netflix at home in their mom's basement, yeah, definitely not a good sign for the US economy. I mean, solutions, what America is doing right now is just, you know, you just look at all the construction companies here in LA, right? All the dudes building the houses are all illegal Mexican immigrants. that's facts, right? And it's like, is that a bad thing? I don't know. And then you gotta think, it's like, how else can one accumulate or build wealth creation in today's world? I mean, some simple ones is just provide quote real services. What is a real service? A real service is like, you know, like selling a physical product or even a digital project is fine, right? Like I sell my neck straps, the hapticindustries.com, the haptic products, right? Offer real services like, you know, teach a workshop. Me, I'm at this point where I'm only gonna do stuff that I genuinely like, you know, assuming that I'm already a crypto trillionaire rather than doing work for work's sake, which is what a lot of people do. Yeah, just, and actually the real road to freedom is, yeah, just live like a poor person. Even like delete, subtraction. I'm even at the point where I don't even like getting free stuff no more, because if you get a free something, it just accumulates space in your house. And once again, more stuff to manage. And also, aesthetically speaking, like,
even with house interior design, whatevs, right?
The proper, like, you know, people do staging and stuff, right? The real proper way to look at a place is to have no furniture, no nonsense. Like, only, like, don't get a couch, get a tatami mat, just get it on Amazon, just take naps on the floor, right? Even like that, like, desks are bad. Like, you don't need to stand or, you know, whatever, right? Like, kitchen countertops, I think, are good, right? And, oh, what's up? Morning. How you doing? Alright.
What you
up to?
Huh?
What you up to?
Nothing, just open the chair, open the umbrella.
Alright, so, it's cold, time to hit the hot yogas. Actually, some thoughts on the physiology. So, especially when it's cold, Cindy actually bought this like body warmer heat thingy on Amazon. It's just like search what, hot blanket. Actually, in Korea it's interesting, they have something called jeongijangban, which is like electric hot blanket warming thing. Even in Korea, they so super smart that like the flooring is actually heated, and so even though it's cold AF, the floor is nice and toasty. You're gonna be happy and in a good mood. Yeah, I'm almost starting to wonder, it's like the winter, it is like,
how much people kind of get depressed, emo, moody, because
it's mostly a cold weather complaint, morning,
rather than thinking about,
yeah, just health and physiology. So just warm up. Even like if you live somewhere super effing cold, super easy, wear all merino wool, everything, leggings, shirts, under layers, whatever, buy the $10,000 Canada Goose jacket, whatevs. Yeah, it seems like a good idea. Or just do the really, really hot yoga. We went to this place called like Hot 8. Like what, first week is $33 or something, and then it's like 10 trillion degrees in there. But it feels good, especially when it's cold AF outside. Or just get a gym membership, hit the hot sauna, talk to the pretty people, lift some weights, and dip out. Or at home, you got a bathtub, take an insanely hot bath where like your skin's about to boil off, no lukewarm. Or if you have a shower, extremely insanely effing hot shower until your skin finna boil off too is a good idea. So New Year's. Yeah, it's via negativa. It's just like, so a lot of people, they want to quote unquote become healthier on the New Year's, but what does that really mean? Health, wellness, strength, like I think maybe like the best way to think about it is think the Iliad. It's like, I almost wonder if health is a modern day notion too, right? Because if you think about the Iliad, what is it that people really wanted? Like, okay, you're in battle and then somebody, you know, pokes you with a spear and then you're gushing blood or you're injured, right? They, the most critical person during the war was the healer. So they would put in some herbs and medicines and shit in your wounds to heal faster. So I don't know how that works, but it seems like it does something. So yeah, healing, even Korean people have this healing notion. Is kind of interesting. Even like if you're playing a video game, right? Whether we like it or not, the most critical person in your party is the healer, right? Like the mage or somebody like who heals you with the potions and shit like that, right? But then it's kind of like the the servant slave work is like if you're playing like Diablo or WoW, you don't want to be the healer. No one wants to be the healer. It's like so boring, right? Just get a bot to do it. Everything is just like, anything that's hateful, boring labor that you don't want to otherwise do yourself, just get a bot to do it. Seems like a good strategy. So, yeah. So anyways, what is health, wellness, blah, blahs? So Super simple, guys. I mean, I'm just gonna give extreme examples, F it. So quit alcohol. Alcohol is the worst drug on the planet. I would even surmise that drinking alcohol is probably even worse than cocaine. At least cocaine makes you more productive. I've never done it, so I don't know. And stop smoking weed. Don't do the weed pen. Quit the vape. It's like, you wanna stop? I mean, I'm like, my thought is just like, I think the only legitimate drug to take is like coffee, right? Coffee seems like a smart strategy because, you know, it's like, I mean, it's still bad. Like, honestly, like, if I never, ever drink coffee when I started off, I actually made it through college without any coffee or all-nighters, whatever. It's Cindy only got me addicted to coffee, like, after we graduated college. I'm at this point of no return, but I'm just like, F it. So actually my new strategy is allow yourself to drink unlimited coffee first thing in the morning when you wake up, but then just strict abstinence for the rest of the day. And then the rest of the day you're tired, just take a nap. Take a nap in your car, take a nap at the house. Jump in the bed, put on a blanket, take a nap in the tatami mat, etc. Take a hot bath. Take a nap, nap a deck, right? Turbo naps. Power naps, whatever you want to call it. Actually, the problem in America is to nap or to sleep or to rest or to relax is kind of seen as a vice. It's like, you know, just drink more caffeine, power up, and do more work. And it's just like, don't think like a slave. Slaves are focusing on, like, okay, so Aristotle's Politics, right? Slaves are focused on action, right? So to act more, to do more, to move around more, to produce more monies or whatever, right, is like a slave mentality. If you're the master, you just let the slaves do the dirty work for you. Like even the Spartans, right? What they like to do, they like to hang out, work out, lift weights, train, you know, talk shop, and they would just get the helots to do all the dirty work, right? And so even if you go to Asia, Southeast Asia, whatever, like it's even a middle class family, you typically have one or two full-time living maids. It's pretty normal. And then the goal is you want to free up your effort, labor, time, energies in order to do more higher order tasks like philosophy, thinking, arts production, etc. But the reason why how a lot of people is kind of enslaved is, let's say even if you work at Apple, you're making $10 million a year, whatever, right? If you have to still work to your slave job and pay the nanny and pay your house clear, and like you still like the way that Americans do it is kind of funny, is you work more, working a better job, making more money in order to hire people and use money that they do more of your labor tasks. But it seems unintelligent that the real intelligent strategy, I think, should be instead to not do none of that hateful labor and figure out how to get somebody else to do it for you. But even the best use of money is just to pay somebody else to do it, right? So like even if you get an oil change your car, you can do it yourself, but like it's like the time, you gotta like jack up your car, you gotta change the oil, and then the one of the big issues is even if you change your own oil, the big issue is you have to go to the Craig and you gotta dump the oil. That's that way it's just like just can't be, I just pay somebody else to do it. Even like let's say you had to buy a house to go trip. Like people naively think, oh, I should just do it myself to save money. But if you could pay somebody $20 an hour to do something for a full hour, like take out trash in your backyard, it's totally worth it. So the goal is to make money our slave. The goal isn't to be a slave to money.